is sensor-based nitrogen management for irrigated corn by Andrew Tucker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning to everyone. I hope everyone's having a good experience at this ASA meetings. I know that I plan to listen to a lot of presentations and gather as much information as possible. For today, I'd like to talk about sensor-based nitrogen management for irrigated corn. I'd like to acknowledge my co-author on this, Dr. David B. Mangle, as he's been a major factor going into this research project. A little bit of background information. As we all know, efficient use of nitrogen in corn or Z-maize production is important to maximize profits for producers and reduce nitrate leaching. Sensor technology has the potential to allow producers to increase nitrogen use efficiency and profits, and research with sensor technology on corn in Kansas is very limited. Oklahoma State has done a lot of research with sensor technology over the years, and we kind of wanted to see if that's something that we could make an impact here in the state of Kansas. So the objective for this study was to optimize in-use efficiency and profits in irrigated corn production through the use of split-in applications guided by sensor technology. I have two photos there. The first one on your right hand would be the crop circle sensor. It utilizes an amber band as well as an infrared to calculate NDVI measurements. And then the one on your left would be the green seeker sensor, which utilized a red band and an infrared band for NDVI measurements as well. So for this experiment, we had primary locations, which were sprinkler irrigated, that were established in 2007. This included at the Kansas River Valley in Rossville, Kansas, and the Southwest Research and Extension Center at Tribune. In 2008, we decided we didn't have quite enough locations, so we decided to add a few more. Added the Western Kansas Research and Extension Center location at Colby, which was furrow irrigated, although the data is not shown, as in 2008, there's no response to nitrogen, and in this year, the corn is still in the field as it's too wet to harvest. And then also we had a location in 2008, which included the Granby Farm at Manhattan, which was a dryland site. This here just kind of gives you an idea where these research locations are at in the state of Kansas. As you go from east to west in the state, we have Rossville, Manhattan, Colby, and Tribune. One thing I'd like to note, as you go east to west in the state, we have an extreme precipitation gradient. And for example, at Rossville, the precipitation gradient drops off by about 2.5 times by the time you get out to the west in Tribune, Kansas. So we kind of wanted to encompass as much geography as possible for this experiment to test the sensor technology across a wide range of growing conditions. So for this experiment, we had treatments including nitrogen rates ranging from 0 to 246 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, and nitrogen timing, either all pre-plant or split applied with either a flat rate or a sensor-based rate. We did the sensor-based treatments were applied at the V8, V9 growth stage using Oklahoma State algorithm as it was readily available for the course of this study. Normalized difference of the vegetation index, or NDVI, was measured on all plots during the growing season using the Green Seeker Red and Crop Circle Amber sensors. Plots were machined or hand harvested for grain yield determination, and a randomized complete block design with 4 replications was used for all plots. An alpha of 0.1 was used for all mean separations using SAS version 9.1 and ProcGLM procedure. So the end goal for this study is to have a toolbar equipped as such as the picture shows here, where you have these sensors mounted above your corn rows, and what this applicator could do is take real-time NDVI measurements as he's going across this field, and then variable rate apply this fertilizer real-time on the go. So give you some results from the experiments. This is a 3-year average for Rossville in 2007 through 2009, and as we go along here, I'll have this basically the same type of setup for all tables, where we have the all the pre-plant treatments listed here, followed by the split applications, which were 50% pre-plant and then 50% applied at the V8, V9 growth stage. And then sensor-based treatments would be the ones towards the bottom, whereas using the Green Seeker and Crop Circle sensors, we had 134 kilograms of nitrogen that was pre-plant, and then we come back in at V8, V9 and top the system off. or using the SPAD meter. We delayed that decision until about V16, but it still had the same pre-plant end rate as other sensor treatments. And then we had, for this location, a combination of both, where we use the sensor technology at V8, V9 growth stage, and then come back in and also use the SPAD meter at V16 just prior to tasseling. As you can see, we had a nice response to nitrogen. As you look in this far right-hand column, yields were optimized at this 179 kilograms per hectare pre-plant level. And what you guys notice is we use the sensor technology. Even though that we had a little bit wider range of a 3-year nitrogen rate used, these results were not statistically different from our optimum pre-plant end rate. So the sensor technology for this location seems to show great promise and work very well for us. We're very, very pleased with the results. The SPAD meter, using it alone, we did have slightly lower yields, and this is probably primarily due to that we had some nitrogen stress a little bit earlier that we could have picked up using the sensor technology, but seeing how these treatments were designed to look at V16, we probably impacted yields a little bit by waiting for that decision making. Looking at Tribune, once again, 2007 through 2009, same experiment set up, more or less, except we didn't have quite enough space to include the crop circle sensor for this experiment. And we had a nice end response once again. The magnitude wasn't quite as great as we've seen in Rossville. However, yields were once again maximized at this 179 pre-plant end rate. And then, you know, there's no real advantages to splits, as we've seen in Rossville as well. And using the sensor technology, even though these were slightly less yielding than our 179 pre-plant end rate, they yielded just as much as our highest end rate. So this may have been an issue of a problem with the way that this experiment was randomized, that the plots that received the 179 pre-plant end rate may indeed had the highest yielding plots for the treatment throughout the duration of the study. If we go on looking at Manhattan in 2008, Manhattan in 2008 was kind of a weird year for us. We had significant rainfall events at least 3 times during the growing season where this particular field was under standing water for about 24-hour period. And we had a huge nitrogen response. This experiment was set up a little bit different where we had starter only and then a reference strip, and then we had starter nitrogen rates and then come back in with additional 6,734 or 202 kilograms of nitrogen at V8. And we can see we had just a huge response. This was our most responsive site, and we probably didn't optimize yields even at this highest rate of side dress in. If we used the sensor technology and gave it a base level of preplant nitrogen, when we come back in at the V8, V9 growth stage, there was really no difference in the sensor treatments. And, you know, so we didn't recommend any more nitrogen. But we didn't get near as much yield. And if we would have come back in at V16 growth stage and looked at the SPAD meter, we've seen that we did detect a nice nitrogen deficiency pattern, and we recruit back some of that yield for that growing season. So the sensor technology in this particular location, it didn't work quite as well, and that was primarily due to the fact that, you know, there's no difference at that V8, V9 growth stage, whereas the 134 rate pre-plant ran out of gas, and even our reference strip ran out of gas, so our reference strip probably didn't have enough nitrogen on it to begin with to really get some differentiation for this particular site. So one other thing I kind of wanted to look at is, well, how well did the sensor technology do at determining yield prediction? And we have a figure given here where we have ENSI on your bottom axis and corn grain yield on your horizontal axis. And if we look at ENSI, which is NDVI divided by just a straight run of days after planting from at the V8, V9 growth stage, we do have a relationship there. It's an exponential relationship. R squared is 0.53, which, you know, isn't as good as we had hoped, but it does give us hope that, you know, the sensor technology can be used as a yield prediction tool. And, you know, as we gather more and more information on the soils, climate, and weather data, I think we can get a lot better handle on yield prediction potential outside of just using the sensor technology alone. So there may be a lot of factors going into this. So kind of conclude for my talk for today. A significant nitrogen response was seen at all locations. The greatest magnitude of N response would happen to be at the Manhattan in 2008 site, where we've seen significant N loss, and then followed by Rossville and then Tribune. Using sensor technology to split apply nitrogen has proven to be successful at some locations, particularly Rossville, for a three-year average. Tribune, we had okay results, and then it also has limitations at Manhattan in 2008 that we've seen. We have a nice relationship between NC and grain yield at the V8, V9 growth stage for corn has been established, but further research may need to be taken this into consideration so we can improve that relationship as time goes on. And further research is needed to look at the impact of timing and sensing and application of nitrogen, something that we started to do this past year with a fertilizer dealer, J.B. Pearl, based out of St. Mary's, Kansas, had bought a fertilizer applicator, and they were really interested in some timing impacts of that. So we did a lot of running at the V14 to V16 growth stage with their high clearance equipment. So, you know, we're really hoping to do some further research looking at the impact of timing of sensing and application of nitrogen in corn as well. With that, I'd like to thank the following people: the Kansas Corn Commission for funding this research, my major professor, Dr. David B. Mingle, experiment field managers Robert Aiken, Larry Maddox, and Alan Slangle for management of plots. They did a very good job taking care of these plots and was very fortunate to have these research locations in Kansas. And also graduate students Jason Motz, Joshua Stamper, Nick Ward, and Holly Weber for all their hard work and dedication in keeping me in line. With that, I'd be glad to take any questions or listen to you guys, any comments that you may have about this presentation. Thank you.
Questions?
The question, the V16, were you doing foliar application or dropping it on the soil?
Your question was, for the V16 application, were we using foliar or dropping it on the ground? For the J.B. Pearl, they were dropping this in between the road using a dribble band application with their high clearance equipment, so it was not foliar. In the back.
Did you have enough treatment you could have occurred, calculated what the optimal end rate was, and then compared your prediction from the optical sensors to what the actual optimum was for each site?
Question was, do we have enough data to look at the optimum in rate for each individual site and then correlate back to how well the sensor technology does? Yes, we do, but something that's been bothering me in whatever calculating optimum in rates for each individual sites and comparing it back and forth is, what's the grain price for that given day and what's the nitrogen price for that given day? These prices are very volatile, so I mean, we can get a ballpark estimate by plugging in some prices and grain prices off of this data, but we have not looked into it quite that far yet. A lot of this data was just collected here in the last couple weeks before this meeting.
Have plenty of time for additional questions.
What is the typical N rate that's applied without this technology to try to refine?
Okay, your question was, what's the typical N rate that is used? For irrigated corn production, what we've seen over the last 10 years, a lot of research has shown that the 120 to 160 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare will be the optimum N rate for corn on corn, and so that gives you a nice range. So our main objective was to look at the lower end of that amount and then top the system off with a sensor-based application later in the growing season. Yes.
You have a sensor on every row, is that right? Wouldn't that be expensive?
Question was, did we have a sensor on every row and wouldn't that be expensive? Yes, it would be expensive if you had one in on every row, but for this actual set of experiments, these were all small plots and we used handheld sensors for making these treatments and recommendations. But a typical cost for a commercial applicator, J.B. Pearl, I believe, paid about $25,000 to retrofit their high-clearance sprayer with sensor technology. So it's about 10% markup in the cost of the equipment, but they can reap that benefit back fairly quickly.
All right. Let me thank Mr. Tucker for his presentation.